This is The Disappearance of Robin Buckley, a Stranger Things Buffy the Vampire Slayer crossover fic.
Written by Flip Flop Diva.
And read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Robin Buckley-Nancy Wheeler, with additional tags for crossover, human experimentation, government experimentation, Stranger Things post-season 3, pre-Buffy the Vampire Slayer, young Rupert Giles, rescue missions, best friends, pre-relationship, teasing, banter. This story and podfic were created as a collaboration as part of Pod Together 2025. Summary. They were supposed to sign a simple NDA and put the whole Russian bunker incident behind them. But that is not at all what happened to Nancy Wheeler and Robin Buckley. Robin was fiddling with the mug full of pens sitting on the desk. Nancy watched as she picked the pens up one by one, studied each one, clicked the button to make the ink appear, clicked it again to make it disappear, and then put it back. She reached now for a thick black pen and clicked it open. "Oh, this one's nice," she told Nancy. Nancy shook her head. "Now the government has your fingerprints all over their pens." Robin snorted. "Pretty sure they have more than just my fingerprints already." She flopped back into the chair beside Nancy, still holding the pen. She gave Nancy a sly smile. "What do you think we're going to have to sign?" she asked. Steve wasn't big on the details. "I think that's the whole point of an NDA," Nancy said. "Well, that's dumb," Robin said. "We went through the whole ordeal together." She sighed and stretched and checked the clock on the wall behind them. Nancy looked at it, too. They had been sitting in this room for almost half an hour now. The man who had led them in here had told them he would be right back with the paperwork. Nancy sighed now, too. She wished she had grabbed lunch before they headed over. "Do you want to get a bite to eat once we're free of this place?" she asked Robin. Robin gasped and put a hand to her chest. "Nancy Wheeler! Are you asking me out?" "What? No." Nancy stumbled over her words, feeling her face get red for reasons she couldn't explain. But Robin was laughing, and Nancy worked to twist her face into a scowl instead of the smile that desperately wanted to form. Before she could get her face how she wanted it, the door burst open, and in walked the same man who had led them here earlier. Tall, dark-haired, and very official-looking in his black suit and tie, with not even a wrinkle or a piece of lint. He had a pile of papers in his hands, and he set them down carefully on the desk.
"We have to sign all those?" Robin asked, not even bothering to hide the horror in her voice.
The man stared at her coolly. "This is a very serious matter," he said. "We need to make sure it is done properly."
"Can we just pinky swear and promise not to say anything to anyone?" Robin asked, and Nancy hid a smile.
The man did not look amused.
Instead, he began to separate the paper into two piles before pushing them toward the edge of the desk.
"Okay. Let's get started," he said,
as Robin groaned and Nancy felt her stomach begin to rumble. They had barely made it through the first page, and Nancy was already wondering how she was going to be awake and alive to make it through the whole stack, when they heard a commotion in the hall. Shouts, pounding footsteps. Was that a crash?
"What the—"
the man said, getting to his feet, just as the door flew open. For a second, Nancy didn't understand what was happening. All she saw were figures draped in what looked like white plastic. They seemed to swarm the room, their hands gesturing, their words leaving their mouths in a fast, frenetic way. And then
Nancy heard Robin scream. "Get off me! Don't touch me!" she was shouting. And instantly, Nancy was out of her own chair, but a few of the white-draped figures, hazmat suits, something in the back of her brain told her, grabbed her arms to keep her in place. "Let go of her!" Nancy shouted. She couldn't see Robin anymore. The figures were between the two of them, but she could hear her shouting and could hear the oofs from the figures who got in the way of Robin's fists and hands, and she worked hard to free herself, to get to Robin, trying to hit and kick out at the people who had a hold on her. But there were too many people, and their grips were too tight, and panic filled her entire being as she heard Robin's screams growing quieter and farther away. "Robin!" Nancy screamed, as loud as she could, but it was no use. The door to the room slammed shut, and all sounds of Robin were gone. The three figures who had hold of her let go immediately, and then disappeared out the door themselves, leaving just Nancy and the man who had wanted them to sign the NDA. She turned on him now. "What was that? Get her back!" But she knew, even as she shouted at him, that this man didn't have any idea what was happening. She could see the genuine shock and confusion across his face, the way he just stared, open-mouthed, at the door. He fumbled with the papers. Well, I'm not sure. But if we can get back... "No!" Nancy interrupted. "Absolutely not! I am not signing anything until I get my friend back!" "Miss, you really need..." "No," Nancy said again, and this time she pressed the palms of her hands down on his desk, staring the man straight in the eye. "I will not sign anything until I get my friend back. And if you try anything with me, I can assure you I already have an article on everything that happened down in that bunker, ready to go straight to the front page of the Hawkins Post." "Okay." Now it was the man interrupting her. He staggered to his feet. "Wait here. I'll see what I can find out." And then he was out of the room, door slamming shut behind him. Nancy took a deep breath to try and steady herself. She really had written out some notes for an article about everything that had happened, but it wasn't ready to go, and she didn't know if anyone would even know to look for it if she just didn't come home from here. She hadn't told her parents where she was going. Steve knew, but... She gasped and put a hand over her mouth. "Steve! If those people had come for Robin because of what had happened down in the bunker, then they might very well come for Steve, too." She cast her eyes around the room, landing on the phone on the man's desk. Should she try to call him? Get him a message? She could try to leave. They'd walked down a long hallway to get here when she and Robin had arrived. If she was fast enough, she could maybe get down the hall and into the front lobby and out the front door before they caught her. But then what? Hope they hadn't already come for Steve? And hope they wouldn't catch her? No. The phone was the best option. Besides, she couldn't run. Not with the slim chance that she might find out some information about Robin from the man who went to investigate. She took another breath to brace herself, and then quickly picked up the phone, thanking the stars above when she heard a dial tone. She dialed Steve's number and waited, listening to the phone on the other end ring and praying the door to the office didn't slam open, revealing more figures coming to take her away. "Hello?" Steve's voice sounded in her ear, and she almost sobbed from relief, but she had to be careful. "It's me," she said, working to keep her voice steady. "I need you to meet me where we used to always meet. With E&D 2, if you can. Something's happened." There was a pause, and then Steve said, "Nance, what's happening? What's going on?" "Just do as I ask, okay?" she said quickly. "And whatever you do, don't talk to anyone else, all right?" "Nance," he said again. "Please, just listen. I'll be there as soon as I can." She put the phone back down, feeling her heart thud in her ears. Would Steve realize that she meant for him to come to her room like he always had back when they were dating? Would he understand her warning and not stop to talk to people who might be trying to grab him from the streets? Would he know that she wanted him to get Dustin and Erica before they, too, were taken? Should she have said more? But if she had and the phone was being tracked or recorded, they would know everything. There was no one here she could trust. She was just debating the merits of calling Steve back or making a run for it when she heard the knob to the room jingle, and then the door was opening. The same man from before appeared. He looked worried and frazzled. "Did you find out anything?" she asked him.
"It's a government operation, is what I was told."
"Aren't you the government?" she burst out. He was making his way back to his desk.
"Not that division," he said. "Do you think we can get back to this?"
But Nancy wasn't listening. She was opening the door to his office, flying back down the hall the way she had come, barreling through the front lobby and out the door to the street. The office they had been sent to was in a nondescript building downtown, but it was in a location she knew well. One where it was easy for her to disappear in minutes down a side street and duck behind a couple of overflowing dumpsters. She kept waiting to hear the pounding of feet from the direction she had come, or the shouts of someone calling her name. But nothing happened. And finally, she gave up waiting and began to run. Robin had driven them both here that morning, but her house was less than 2 miles away. She could make it. By the time she burst through her own front door, she was out of breath, both her lungs and her heart aching. She felt like she was on the verge of panic and tears, but she refused to give in to either. They needed to get Robin back first. She barreled up the stairs, not stopping to answer her mother's question about how the meeting went, and threw open the door of her room. A gasp of relief left her mouth as she found Steve, Dustin, and Erica all there, the three of them pacing her room in what looked like a strange game of people trying not to run into each other. They all turned to face her as she closed the door behind her and leaned back against it.
"Okay, you're really scaring us," Dustin said.
"They took Robin," she said.
"Who took Robin?" Steve asked.
"I don't know," Nancy said. "We went to the address they sent us to sign the NDA and all that paperwork. We were just sitting there when all these people in white plastic suits rushed in and just grabbed her and dragged her out."
"What?"
Steve said.
"Oh my God,"
Dustin said. "That's nuts."
"White plastic suits?" Erica said. "Like full coverage?"
"Yes," Nancy said, looking at her.
"Do you know something?"
"Maybe like suits people wear to protect themselves from chemicals," Erica said. Nancy nodded.
"Yes," she said. "Exactly like that."
"A couple weeks back," Erica said, "I was wandering by the old mall, you know, to see what happened to it after everything. And I saw some people in suits like that wandering in and out."
"Okay, that would make sense," Dustin said. "Who knows what kind of contaminants are in that place after everything? But what would that have to do with Robin?"
"Maybe they think Robin's a contaminant," Erica suggested.
"Okay, but we don't even know if it's the same people," Steve said.
"It could be a giant coincidence," Dustin said.
Steve glared at him.
"Okay," Nancy cut in, glad to finally have something to focus on. "The mall hasn't been fully destroyed yet, right? It's still there?"
"Far as I know," Erica said.
"Then maybe we should head there, see if we can see any of these white hooded people."
"You think they're keeping Robin at the old mall?"
Steve said, his voice uncertain.
"Not really," Nancy said.
But we need to start somewhere, right? And there is no way this doesn't have anything to do with what happened in that bunker. So it seems as good a place to start as any. Okay, Erica said. But I'm not getting in any elevators this time. I don't even remember inviting you the first time, Dustin said. And she stuck her tongue out at him. We should take my mom's car, Nancy said. Hopefully no one will be looking for me.
They just let you go after that? Steve asked her.
I don't know, Nancy said. I ran, but I don't think they were following me.
They got what they needed, Dustin said.
He frowned at Steve.
But then why didn't they take you when you went to sign your NDA?
A very good question indeed, Nancy said. She turned to open the door to her room.
Hey, Nance. Steve's voice stopped her, and she turned back. I'm really glad you're okay, he said.
And she let him come across to her and envelop her in his arms. She wrapped her arms around him, taking a brief moment to feel his strength, but then she pushed away.
Let's go find Robin, she said.
Robin rescue recovery underway, Dustin said.
That's a little repetitive, Erica told him. Can you do better? He asked.
I'm sure I can, she said. I'm very smart.
The roads that used to lead to the mall were blocked off. No trespassing signs hung on wire fences erected around the place. Barriers were placed across the roads for emphasis. Police tape was everywhere.
They really want you to know not to come here, Steve said.
Nancy found a small street a few blocks away and pulled up behind a blue station wagon and next to a bunch of tall shrubs. It was a quiet, run-down street, one she hoped no one would be looking for them on. They kept together, their heads down, their voices quiet as they walked, hoping anyone who might see them wouldn't think much of them. On the west side of the mall, there was a hole in the fence. Through the hole, they could see excavators and tractors and bulldozers, but they couldn't see any people.
It looked to be a straight enough shot to make it through the hole in the fence and then run to what used to be the entrance to the mall.
Maybe once they got there, they could check if a door was open, and then they could slip inside.
I would not do that if I were you, came a voice in a British accent from behind them, just as Dustin was about to fit his leg through the hole.
All four of them spun around, even Dustin, who almost toppled over. A man Nancy had never seen before was standing there. He was tall, with curly brown hair, wearing glasses over his dark eyes. He was dressed in a suit and looked entirely out of place in the destroyed, deserted parking lot of the former mall. He gestured now to the mall and the hole in the fence.
Every centimeter of that building is covered in alarms. There's no possible method of staying undetected.
Nancy narrowed her eyes. And how do you know that? The man adjusted his glasses.
I have been watching.
Why? Steve said. The man glanced at the four of them.
I dare say that is probably not your business.
Then why should we believe you?
Dustin asked. The man shrugged.
You do not have to take my word for any of this, he said. But I presume you want your friend back, yes?
Nancy felt a cold chill run down her spine, and she felt her breath catch in her lungs.
What do you know about her? She demanded. If you did anything...
The man held up a hand.
I assure you I did not, he said. I am here merely to observe the goings-on in this town and report back to the council on what I have found.
What council? Erica asked.
Let's just say that we deal in things that aren't exactly ordinary, the man said. I am sorry, but I really should not be saying more.
What do you know about Robin? Nancy interrupted. Our friend. How do you know about her and us?
As I said, the man said, once again adjusting his glasses. I have been observing. I was instructed to keep an eye on the ones involved in the situation at the shopping center.
And you were observing earlier? Nancy said. She felt like she might be sick.
The man nodded. Yes, I am afraid I was.
Do you know where they took her? She said. Do you know who they are?
I do not know specifics, he said, but from what I understand, they are an organization deep inside your government, created to test the effects of more supernatural substances on humans.
What does that mean?
Destin asked suspiciously.
The Upside Down, Erica said. They're testing its effects on humans.
I believe something like that, yes, the man said. I'm still gathering information. From what I can tell, this organization is still very rudimentary.
But they took Robin, Nancy said.
Because we were close to the portal, Steve said.
Where did they take her? Do you know? Nancy asked.
I believe I do, the man said.
Great, Steve said. So you're going to help us get her back, then?
Not exactly, the man said. As I said, I am not here to get involved. But I believe I can tell you how to do it.
You can?
Nancy asked.
Protecting humans is one of my job duties, the man said. How are you, anyway? Erica blurted out.
The man smiled slightly.
No one you've heard of, he said. But you can call me Rupert.
It turned out that the ground beneath what was once the Hawkins lab was now an underground facility used to hold test subjects for the government. The man they met, Rupert, did what he told them he could do. He didn't come with them, but he gave them the information they needed to get Robin out. They'd worried that nothing was going to stop the government from coming after Robin or Steve again, but Rupert had said he would take care of it. They waited until nightfall, like Rupert had suggested, before attempting the break-in. One good thing about a rudimentary operation was their security was a bit rudimentary, too. A couple of guards that were easy to evade, and a few passcodes that Rupert had somehow gotten hold of. Nancy vowed that once all this business was taken care of, she was going to find out who exactly this Rupert really was. They found Robin locked in a cell, drugged and starving. They took her to Steve's house, his parents were out of town for the week, where Steve and Nancy spent 3 days taking care of her until she was as back to normal as she could be. She didn't remember much of what happened. She figured they must have drugged her with sleep serum right after they dragged her out of the government office. But from what they could deduce, no one had actually had a chance to experiment on her. It was, Nancy decided, the best they could hope for. 2 days after Nancy and Robin returned to their own houses, Erica stopped by the Wheeler house while Robin, Steve, and Nancy were in Nancy's bedroom to report that the mall had been fully demolished and there was now no sign of anything left. She also said the tunnel they had used to enter the underground facility had been destroyed. So, we're safe? Robin asked.
As safe as anything could be in this town, Erica said, shrugging.
That's not comforting, Nancy told her.
I wasn't trying to be, Erica said. Erica and Steve took off then to go share the news with Dustin. Robin took the opportunity to stretch out on the bed beside Nancy.
You know, Nancy Wheeler, she said,
I'm pretty sure before all this happened, you were about to ask me out on a date.
Nancy glanced at her, lying there beside her, smiling and laughing and safe. I think I was asking if you wanted to get a bite to eat, she said.
Same thing, Robin said.
Yes, Nancy said. Robin frowned.
Yes, it's the same thing. Yes, you want to get a bite to eat. Yes, you want to go on a date with me.
Nancy grinned at her.
Yes, she said again.
To all three. Yes, yes, and yes.
Now Robin was grinning. Well, okay, she said. Then it's a yes for me, too. But I'm buying. I owe you for saving my life.
It's a deal, Nancy said, getting off the bed the same time Robin did, and then following her out her bedroom door. To lunch, and whatever the future would hold. The end.
Author's notes from Flip Flop Diva. First of all, I really want to thank Rena Jenkins for being such a super fun and amazing partner. Right off the bat, she just had some glorious ideas for a Stranger Things and Buffy the Vampire Slayer crossover, and really, they all would have been amazing. It was me who was a little worried about my writing skills with some of her proposals, so we had to come up with something slightly different, but I'm very lucky that she was super willing to go in a slightly different direction and go with our pre-initiative Robin and Nancy project, and she suggested adding in Dustin and Erica, and I think that, I think that it turned out great, and I'm really excited about what we created, and a lot of it was thanks to her and her crazy, enthusiastic ideas. Also, so thank you, Rena Jenkins, for all of that, and for being a super great partner, and being patient with me, and also, you did an amazing job on the recording, and I love it so much, and I love having a recording of that goes along with the fic. And thank you also to the Pod Together mods for hosting this amazing fest year after year. It's always a fest that I look forward to so much, and I'm so grateful for all of you that you continue to host it. And thank you also for being patient with me when I accidentally forget check-ins or to post my text to AO3. And finally, thank you to everyone who read this or listened to this. It really means a lot to share our crazy ideas with everyone out there. So thank you so very much.
Reader's notes. Thank you so much to Flip Flop Diva for having the amazing, incredible brainwaves that we had together. We matched on Buffy and on Stranger Things, and when my immediate knee-jerk reaction was, obviously, crossover, duh, and Flip Flop Diva was like, okay, no, not obvious, but I can roll with it, and made this incredible moment happen. I just really enjoyed the concept of, like, kind of working backwards from the Buffy timeline, right? The initiative would have had, we knew the initiative existed during World War II, right, for experimenting on demons, and they would have had a presence somewhere, and if you've got one secret organization in the government that experiments on children, why don't you have more secret organizations in the government that experiment on children who do special things? So why wouldn't they be experimenting on children in the place where the walls between reality are weakest? And then Flip Flop Diva was like, also, young Giles, baby watcher. And I don't know if I fully conveyed it because I can only do one British accent and it is very, very sleep-deprived Obi-Wan Kenobi of a British accent. But you know that bit in Buffy where she's like to Giles, do you stuff your own shirts or do you send them out? That was the body language that I was trying to convey with my voice, or at least the body language I was holding while trying to read Giles's. And I don't know if it actually came through, but please imagine the junior watcher stuffed shirtedness of like baby Giles in this moment and just sort of, oh, you're useless. You're just standing and watching and not doing anything, which is absolutely character development that he picks up after, you know, being deeply involved in Buffy's life. Anyway, Thank you so much to the mods who are running Pod Together 2025. Check out the rest of the Pod Together collection because, like, every year there are just amazing, incredible things. Thank you so much to Flip Flop Diva for having, you know, being down to collab with this and writing something that just gave me so much joy. Also, just the idea of Robin touching every single pen in that man's pen holder cup and Nancy just being like, "And now they have your fingerprints. Are you even thinking about this?" Like, it was just such a beautifully in-character... Like, this fic opens strong. It opens with a beautifully in-character moment of the two of them that just gave me so much fucking joy. And then crossover, continued, rescue mission, amazing. So yes, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.